Happy to welcome back to the conference Ralph de la Vega, the President and CEO of AT&T Mobile and Business Solutions. Ralph, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be here.
I think you were going to start off with a few opening remarks.
Let me start off with a few comments, and then we'll have cues. Good morning, everyone. Brett, it's really great to be here today. But first, before we get started, I'd like to cover the safe harbor statement, which says that today's comments may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risk, and results may differ materially. And details can be found in our SEC filings and on AT&T's website. Today, I also have to give you a special notice that, as you know, we're in the quiet period for Auction 97, so we cannot address any questions about spectrum today. Everything else is game. This has really been an exciting week for me. I just got back from CTIA, the CTIA Supermobility Show. Apple had its big announcements, and the competitive noise in the industry seems to be getting louder every day. So let me just start off by saying that we are really feeling good about our position in the industry and our momentum right now. In fact, even with all the competitive noise out there, we're seeing strong operating results quarter to date, with continuing year-over-year improvements in postpaid net adds, and most importantly, in postpaid churn. In fact, we expect postpaid churn to be less than 1% for the quarter. I'm sure we'll talk in more detail with Brett about all these issues, but I wanted to take a moment to take a step back and give you a longer-term perspective and perhaps a more big-picture view of our industry. Mobility is changing everything. It's changing how we live, how we work, and how we do business. That's why we made some organizational changes recently that point to how we see mobility evolving in the next few years. We have combined Business Solutions and our Mobility organization, and I now lead both groups. Glenn Lurie will continue to report to me as CEO of AT&T Mobility in this new organization. We're changing the way we do business because mobility is changing the way business gets done. Businesses want seamless, integrated solutions that improve productivity and solve problems. They also want mission-critical information in the cloud where anyone on any device can access the information immediately in a safe and more secure manner. And with all the headlines that you have seen recently, we're really going to emphasize safety and security of that data. That's why combining mobility and business solutions makes so much sense. This will allow us to do things for business customers that competitors can't match. We have the best-in-class 4G LTE network covering more than 300 million people. We also have the premier enterprise assets in the industry with global reach and scale. Our networks are state-of-the-art and have uniquely powerful security embedded in them. We also have industry-leading machine-to-machine solutions serving customers from GE to GM to Timex to many others. And our Wi-Fi capabilities and managed solutions are second to none. We're talking about integrated solutions that are first and foremost mobile, but are also secure, reliable, ultra-fast, and effortless. And this is really a big opportunity for us. We're bringing new technology to businesses that change the way business gets done. A perfect example is the connected car, serving car manufacturers and dealers, as well as consumers, the users of those products. We have built a strong position here. In fact, GM is rolling out OnStar 4G LTE connectivity in 33 models this year. That connectivity is provided by us. And just this week, we announced that we have expanded our business relationship with GM to help them introduce OnStar services across their Opel brand in Europe, beginning late next year in select countries. Home security and automation is also a great opportunity. We have introduced Digital Life. We introduced it last year, and we have expanded this service to 82 markets in the U.S., but that's not all. I'm really pleased to tell you that Telefonica has become the first company to license AT&T's Digital Life platform and will begin a limited trial of the service in Europe in the first half of 2015. That's just a couple of examples, and quite frankly, I think we're just starting to scratch the surface on the opportunities that are available to this new organization. AT&T is uniquely positioned to create a fully connected experience, your smartphone, your car, your home, and your business. And today, business-related customers represent more than 50% of our mobile revenues, and they're growing. So this is a huge opportunity for us, not just in the United States, but in the rest of the world, because few others can match the capabilities we bring to the table, and this new organization will allow us to move faster, delivering integrated solutions to businesses. And that's a great advantage for us and a tremendous opportunity for the company. Our goal is to provide the best customer experience. What does this mean for customers? It means businesses and consumers want seamless connectivity, and we'll be able to provide it to them. Customers really don't care if the data travels on LTE, Wi-Fi, macro cells, small cells, Ubers, broadband, VPN, fiber. They just want an experience that is seamless, that is fast, that is secure, and it's ubiquitous. We've invested and upgraded aggressively in our networks to provide it. We've worked tirelessly to integrate these networks to provide the best customer experience, and the latest move, putting these organizations together, takes it up a notch, and I would say probably several notches. The ability to do this and do it well is within our capabilities. We also will enable new revenue streams such as the connected car. The bottom line is the combination of mobile services, mobile broadband, mobile devices and applications, and cloud-based technologies is changing the way we live and work, and we believe that we're uniquely positioned to aggressively go after this opportunity as the new organization of AT&T Mobile and Business Solutions. And Brett, with that, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Great. Thanks for that, and congratulations on the new job. I'd like to start off talking a little more about the merging of the organizations. You did a great job articulating the opportunity that AT&T has, and you made it fairly clear that you have everything you need to attack that opportunity. You're moving into the role right now. What are your most immediate priorities in terms of looking at how you can get your mobile enterprise organizations working more efficiently together?
I think we're going to be focused on providing these integrated solutions that are first and foremost mobile, Brett, but also provide capability for businesses to access their information in the cloud in a secure and safe way. We think there's a huge opportunity in business, not just in the U.S., but globally, and we can bring this capability to businesses. Let me give you an example. Today, businesses, despite the down economy, are investing in improving their processes and their efficiencies. You can see them investing heavily in those areas, but it's investments in mobile technology. And so they're putting mobile devices in the hands of their employees to make them more effective. We have done that ourselves. In our retail environment, for example, we have taken out 17,000 cash registers out of our retail stores and replaced them with 40,000 tablets. So our employees are making the sales process through a tablet. But that tablet, which is mobile, has all the applications residing in the cloud. And that connectivity has to be absolutely secure in order for us to feel good about putting that capability in our employees' hands. That is the same issue that every CIO is facing across the globe, is how do I put mobility in our customers' hands but make it secure? We have a terrific product that we're bringing as part of the integrated solution set to customers that is called NetBond. NetBond provides a virtual private network from the device all the way to the clouds where applications reside and where critical corporate data is stored. So we have already done great deals with cloud providers to put our technology, our software, our hardware in their cloud, so that any enterprise who wants to access it will have a secure VPN connectivity to it. Let me give you some examples of the companies that we have already have deals with, beginning with Microsoft. The Microsoft Azure Cloud has our NetBond capability. We have the same thing with IBM. We have it with HP. We have that NetBond capability with Salesforce. We have it with Box. We have it with VMware. I could go on and on. So all these cloud providers have the NetBond product, and any company that wants to put any of those applications from those companies on their handsets will have a secure bonded connection directly to the cloud. That, to me, is a huge, huge opportunity for us, and it solves a major headache for every single company on the planet. So this opportunity for us is huge, and I'm very focused on making it a reality.
How close are the organizations to being functioning in a more cooperative way? I think you've already taken some steps in the past to get the enterprise sales forces working together. Is that correct?
We've taken some steps, but this is a major integration. They've been working together cooperatively. We're going to, over time, integrate them more and more as we develop new products, as we provide new capabilities. And we're really focusing, Brett, on taking that wireless capability global, as you've seen us do with the connected car and digital life.
And so it's pretty clear that a big driver of this would be, I guess, revenue synergies from bringing these organizations more closely together. Are there any other operating efficiencies you think you can achieve?
There's numerous efficiencies. First of all and foremost, this is all about growing the business. I think there's a huge opportunity, and there's no company better positioned to attack it than AT&T on a global basis. Second, I think there's always opportunity to more efficiently put organizations together. And also from the customer point of view, they'll have one integrated customer service organization that takes care of every one of their needs, whether they're wired, wireless, software related. It's going to be a great capability to be able to handle not just businesses, but consumers as well.
All right, so let's talk a little more about what's going on in the wireless market right now. And one of the, I guess, key topics that continues to come up over the course of this conference is the level of competitive intensity. And it seems like investors are concerned. I mean, you can tell from the tone of the questions that there's a degree of concern. But we're getting mixed messages. You know, you're talking about your numbers being improved year over year. Verizon made the same comments. We hear other CEOs at the conference talking about being disruptive. You've been around this industry for a long time. You've seen a lot of iterations of competition. You know, from your seat, what is the health of this industry? And then how do you feel about AT&T's performance in it right now?
This is, first of all, a super exciting industry, great growth opportunity everywhere that I look. That's why we're so focused at AT&T on not just dealing with the customers and the products of today, but building the infrastructure to take advantage of the future services that we can provide, like connected car and digital life. But let me get back to what is happening today. You know, I've seen this industry go through cycles, and we've been very competitive. That doesn't mean that we have been less competitive in the past. But what we have always focused on is during those cycles to make sure you have good data analytics to tell you what the customers think and what the customers want. And what I love about what we did in the first half of this year, we rolled out mobile share value plans and next our equipment installment plan. And the combination of those two products drove our net promoter scores to twice what they would have been without those products. And that translated into us delivering the lowest churn in the second quarter in the company's history, despite the economic and the competitive pressures that we were seeing, which is amazing. In fact, our performance in the second quarter was so good that there's only one time in the history of wireless where churn has ever been lower in any quarter, and that happened one time a couple of years ago. So the performance that we have had by listening to customers, using data analytics, and delivering them great value and great services along with a great network experience is absolutely critical. I mentioned in my opening comments, Brett, that our 4G LTE network, which is the nation's most reliable, now covers 300 million POPs. That is absolutely critical, not to take just into account the things that we have to do to competitively compete in the basic market. But that coverage is absolutely critical for the connected car and for digital life. Without it, those products don't work as well. So you can see that they're kind of all connected. And then finally, what I think we've done really well, I mentioned that we had totally re-architected the customer experience in our retail stores. And as a result of that, we have won the J.D. Power Award in the customer retail purchase experience in our retail stores 3 times in a row. So great network coverage, great plans that customers love, and great customer service. And then on top of that, we're building these innovative opportunities that, in our view, have huge revenue upsides, not just in the U.S., but in the rest of the world.
I'm definitely going to come back to those in a minute. I want to talk a little bit about what has been going on with your go-to-market strategy. It seems like the emphasis is on mobile share value plans, particularly big buckets, and next. we're in the process of seeing the base transition into those plans. What is the ultimate objective of getting customers into there? Because you get a little bit of a savings on the service, you have a different model for the handset. How do you think about the trajectory of the company from a revenue or a churn standpoint once you've kind of completed that transition?
We think that that move, Brett, has multiple objectives. First and foremost, although we do give them a discount on the service, then there's very little or no subsidy on some of those plans. So it addresses the biggest cost item that I have in my P&L, which is subsidies. And if we can drive subsidies down over time, that really helps me to maintain margins. And so giving the customers a discount, letting them have more responsibility over the handset choices is an absolute key. But combining that mobile share value plans that reduces subsidies with Next gives us another very valuable opportunity, and that is the capability for customers to add devices to their plans with almost no effort, right? So we announced this week that we have three wearables. We have the Philips watch, we have the Timex Ironman watch, which we connect. They all have wireless area connectivity, and the Mica device from Intel. You can add those devices to a mobile share value plan effortlessly as you can add a car, as effortlessly as you can begin to add connectivity to your home. So once you have that bucket of data, I think it gives us the capability to add all kinds of devices in a really easy fashion for the consumer. I think that customers don't want a different plan for their watch and a different plan for their car and a different plan for their house. And there's others in the industry that are still sticking to that model. I think it's the wrong model. I think if you look broader about where we want to go, customers love the idea of having a shared plan. In fact, we just released some statistics at CTIA, is that the overwhelming number of customers would prefer to add a car to their mobile share value plan than to do it any other way.
You know, this transition has been a little complicated from an accounting standpoint because we see what used to be service revenue become equipment revenue, and it feels like it's mostly a wash. You actually come out a little bit ahead based on the way it's set up. Is that how you see it? It's a wash, but the consumer gets more transparency? Or do you think that at the end of this, you actually create more service revenue, and ultimately, by eliminating the subsidy, you improve margins on a real basis?
I think in the long term, you're going to see revenues continue to grow because of the Next billings, and also because people who are buying these plans, we're seeing them buy other goods and services, like insurance, in much higher numbers, and that helps ARPU over the long term, while reducing subsidies. So we think it's a great opportunity to allow us to continue to grow revenues, to reduce subsidies, and then when you combine it with mobile share value plans, to add other things that are incremental revenue opportunities. And again, the key is you have to add those effortlessly so customers feel comfortable in adding those devices and over time consume more data, which is what we sell.
So one of the interesting things about Next and equipment installation plans in general is that the consumer now really understands what they're paying for a device. And in the past, they really didn't have the ability to influence handset pricing because they didn't really know what they were paying for phones. But now they do. How much have you seen consumers change their behavior? Have you seen them tell the handset vendors through their purchasing behavior that they want cheaper phones?
Well, one of the interesting things that we have seen, it's a little bit of a sidetrack from that, but we have seen actually a lot more customers bring their own devices or use their hand-me-down devices because now they understand the value of those devices. And by the way, we're perfectly fine with that because if a customer brings their own device, that's zero subsidy to us. That is absolutely fine with us. And so customers are more knowledgeable about the value of those devices. They realize that if they have to get a new device, they will have to pay for it. But, you know, it's a great market because there's a lot of people that want the very latest device, and we'll be glad to provide it to them. In fact, you know, this is such a great business, Brett, such a great opportunity. I woke up early this morning, and at 3 o'clock we started taking orders for the new iPhones. And it's such a great thing to wake up in the morning that to know that you had hundreds of thousands of orders already in the hopper before you even have a cup of coffee. I mean, it's a great industry because those customers are the ones that are coming back that bought the Next plan last year and know that a lot of them just get their upgrade when the new phone comes out. So it was amazing for me to see the amount of volume that we have seen just in a few hours this morning, and our systems are rocking. Everything's going well. I think it's a great testament to the plants that we've put out there.
I know it's only a few hours in, but how does it look like things are tracking early on in terms of demand for that device?
They're better than last year, and they're better than the prior year.
Do you think it's because you've changed the way people are allowed to purchase devices, or do you actually think it's the device itself?
I think it's a combination of both. Every time there's a change in design, and this is clearly a change in design for Apple, there's an uptake. And I think this design is particularly good, so I think there's going to be a great uptake, which is good for us. We have a great base of iPhone customers. We have a great relationship with Apple, and our customers, just in the first few hours, are responding in an incredible way to the product and to our services.
Great. I want to talk about some of the ways you can create revenue on your wireless network over the long term. And one of the things that one of your peers of Verizon was talking about is really bringing video over the mobile networks. In other words, not just letting your customers get to other people's video, but actually creating a video experience for them. And Verizon thinks by the middle of next year, they're going to be able to do it, meaning that they'll have the assets and the content agreements. What's your outlook on the opportunity for AT&T to do that? And where do you think you are in the process of bringing the product to market?
We think the video opportunity is huge. That's why we made the purchase of DirecTV, which gives us a unique opportunity in terms of size and scale and capabilities to bring TV like you've never seen it before to wireless, to tablets, to smartphones with a scale that will be unmatched and with the capability to deliver unique content. As you know, we've done a joint venture with the Turning Group to deliver unique content. And the beauty about having DirecTV as part of the portfolio is we can take that unique content and spread the cost over a large customer base that allows to deliver content to wireless in a unique way, like it will be very difficult to do for others that don't have the scale. So we love our position. We love what we're going to be able to bring to the marketplace. And by the way, one of the things that we're super excited about is the capability to bundle satellite TV services and wireless services. Our people are chomping at the bit to be able to sell on a nationwide basis video and wireless bundles together. We sell them today, but today we're limited by our in-region footprint for a TV product. All of a sudden, once this deal gets done, I have a complete nationwide footprint to sell into and to bundle products and services. And so we see a very bright outlook, and that's why we did the DirecTV deal to position us to take advantage of that.
I'll extend on that. You're going to be looking to do fixed wireless loop technology as a way to broaden that addressable market. Can you talk to us, how did you decide where it made sense to do fixed wireless, and then is the technology ready to go?
Oh, the technology is absolutely ready to go. There's really not new science. We're tweaking a bit with the technology, but it's very doable today. It essentially takes a swath of spectrum and dedicates it for this broadband capability that will be able to be bundled with DirecTV. And so we looked in rural areas where there's demand for this product and in rural areas where we have excess spectrum. So in those areas where we have excess spectrum, we take that spectrum, we dedicate it, and that dedicated spectrum can then have a higher performance than the regular wireless connectivity with higher throughput, higher speeds, and therefore can be bundled very well with the product. We're super excited about it. And there's really not new science, but we're re-engineering and putting a process together that allows us to deliver that capability in a very unique way. If you think about the future, the thing that I love about this operationally, Brett, is we see a day when we can have one dispatch, that is one truck that rolls out to put that dish on the customer's property, and that dish has the capability to have the outside antenna that is needed for fixed wireless local loop. With one visit, one turn up, you've got your broadband, you've got your DirecTV, and you're ready to go. It's a huge opportunity for us to be able to do that nationwide. We've never had that capability to do it before.
And what's the timeline for getting that rolled out once you've got the deal done?
We'll begin looking at that in the late 2015, depending on when the actual deal gets done.
And what kind of speeds do you think your customers can get through a network like that?
We're still playing around with the speeds, and it depends on the actual spectrum that we have in each market. but they'll be significantly higher than what you're seeing today on LTE because it'll be dedicated spectrum. You can think about 50 megabits and above.
Great. Let's go back and talk a little bit about some of the other emerging revenue opportunities that you teed up before. You talked about digital life. You talked about the connected car. Where are these services in sort of their evolution? Are we getting close to the point where these are going to become meaningful revenue contributors? Or if not, you know, what are some of the milestones we want to watch for to begin to get excited about this?
Well, they all have meaningful revenue opportunities over the long term. What I love about what we have done is, as we opened in the beginning, we said there's all this competitive fray that we're into, and we're very much focused on that, but we have not taken our eye off the ball, that we have got some great growth opportunities, and if we invest in them now while they're small and maturing, we'll have a great positioning in the future. The connected car is exactly that opportunity. We've invested for a number of years now in building the platform that we call AT&T Drive that we're marketing to various car manufacturers. And GM was the big contract, as I mentioned before. 33 different models will have the OnStar 4G LTE service that we provide. We're going to Europe with GM, with the Opel brand, to do the same thing. We connect every Tesla car in the country. We connect the Audi A3. We connect the Volvo cars. I could go on and on about how the manufacturers are coming to us because we invested in a platform that allows them to put connectivity in the car in a seamless way. One of the things that we did early on hasn't gotten a lot of discussion, but the thing that makes all of this possible is what we call the global SIM. You have a SIM in each one of your phones, and we came up with a SIM that once a manufacturer puts that SIM in their car, that car can essentially operate anywhere in the world. It's no different than some of the John Deere tractors that, you know, they get shipped all over the world. We provide connectivity for them. So we have spent a lot of time to build the SIM. So when a car maker builds a car, if they put our SIM in it, they don't have to worry about where that car is going to be shipped. As you think about it, that simplicity of that as opposed to having to deal with every carrier in North America and Europe and Asia, it's a headache for the car manufacturers. So we have solved a big issue for them. And as a result, we're on the ground floor of a huge growth opportunity in the car business. The same thing with digital life. When Telefonica looked at our platform, they did so after looking for a year in the rest of the planet to see if there was a better choice. And they came back and told us, you guys have the best product. And so we're going to trial with them. We've had interest from the Middle East, from Africa, from Latin America on that platform. And so I think the opportunity is there because we invested early and not only us, but other people see now the growth opportunity.
Does the DirecTV deal help you with your car business at all?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that early on that car manufacturers asked us about, and we have already done some of this with GE, is help us bring content to the back seat of the car, kind of to keep the kids quiet. You know, it's one thing. We're really all about distracted, not having distracted drivers. There's no better distraction than a few kids in the back that are, you know, not very well behaved. And so one of the things that GM asked for us up front is, can you bring content that is unique for a family in the back seat of a car? And the answer is absolutely yes. And when we have the GM connection with DirecTV deal, that's going to be awesome. So we already have some applications from Flamingo, for example, that we make available as part of the AT&T Drive platform for exactly that purpose, so kids can be entertained in the back. But all these things, if you connect the dots, helped us to bring better solutions to the marketplace by working together.
I want to circle back when we were talking earlier about competition and pricing strategies. I think one of the things that has gotten a lot of attention are some of the headline offers coming out of some of your competitors. You know, you get a fixed price for a ridiculous amount of data for a year. Do you have to respond to offers like that?
We don't respond to all offers, Brett. What we do is we do a very thorough analysis of those offers with focus groups of customers. Every time a new offer comes out, we check it out with a customer focus group, and customers hate those exploding offers. Okay, those offers that some competitors have in the marketplace, I'll give you a gig of data and after a year, we take it away, or I'll give you free access, and after a year, I'll charge you for it. Those exploding offers, customers hate those offers. So at this point in time, unless they change their mind, we're not going to offer those kinds of promotions because we don't think customers like them. What we are telling customers is AT&T is going to give you a great network experience. The prices that we have are the ones you're going to see. We're transparent on the prices. We're going to give you great customer service, and you're going to have access to all the new innovation and technology that AT&T brings to the table. So we'll continue to watch it, but so far, some of those things are not being well received by customers. And those who buy them, I think, are going to have some interesting times a year from now when they expire.
You've talked a lot about all of the ways you can create revenue on your network over the next several years. You're happy with your core business. You have emerging opportunities, and it sounds like video could potentially become a big driver. I know there's not a lot you can say about spectrum right now, but how do you think about managing network capacity? Are you okay with the number of towers and sites you have? Are you seeing that small cells are becoming an increasingly interesting way to stay in front of this? Because one of your competitors had a little bit of a hiccup last year. I know it seems like it's increasingly important to really stay in front of this as far as you can.
We have always focused on making sure we take that first and foremost into account when we put all these plans in place. What I love about what we're doing, especially in the car area, I'll give you an example because maybe we haven't talked about this enough, but one of the really great things about the car business is a lot of these manufacturers are absolutely changing the way they interact with that car. Most of us in the room, if you had to have an update to your mapping system today, would likely have to take the car in and get a new CD-ROM to update your map software. That day is past us. All these manufacturers that have 4G LTE connectivity are going to update that map software over the air, and we're giving them incentives to do it overnight. When you do it overnight, the network is not being used. So our focus on growing all this revenue is also growing the revenue on a network base that incrementally is relatively low cost. And so we can give manufacturers a great deal, they can get the updates over the air, and we're using capacity that is now not being used. And so we're really focusing on how we manage the spectrum in traditional ways, but we're also producing products and services that take advantage of idle time in the network to more fully utilize the network. That improves margins and gives customers a great deal.
And you talked about through Project VIP, you go through a little bit of an intense period of capital spending. You're actually ahead of plan in terms of getting the LTE build out. As we finish this project, do you actually spend less on the network, or do you just become more capital efficient, meaning that you're creating revenues on top of your better network and you can sustain your investment?
I think what we're seeing is as we finish the build out of LTE, and we just announced this week 300 million POPs, so we're essentially are complete. And so we'll continue to have augmentations in the network to improve the density in certain areas, to provide for growth. You know, all these cars and all these things, it's growth, but it's at a much lesser pace than what we have seen during the build-out of LTE.
I want to come back and talk about margins a little bit. You know, you've given guidance that you think you can keep your wireless service margins above 40% for the rest of the year. How do you think about improving margins longer term, meaning what do you think are the most immediate or the biggest opportunities to continue to improve profitability?
So there's two key things that are absolutely the key for us to improve margins, and we have rock-solid plans to do both of them. The biggest item on my P&L that impacts margins are subsidies. And with the next plans that we're rolling out, and as you've seen the numbers, they continue to increase as a percent of the plans that we sell. The customers are happy with them. When you combine them with mobile share value plans, the net promoter scores of those customers are more than twice what they are customers who don't have them. So the customers are happy, and we're happy because we've given them a deal that gives them value, and so we think that subsidies over time will continue to decline. That's job one. Job two, my number two item on my cost is the cost of network service. This is the cost of, you know, running the network. And what I love about what my peer John Donovan is doing on the network side, we've announced our Domain 2.0 program, which essentially is an aggressive plan virtualize the network functions. So network function virtualization is a huge opportunity. And John and his team, in my view, are leading the world in getting us to functionalize and virtualize the network so we can use commodity hardware with our network functions being in software in the cloud. When John delivers on that promise, and I'm very confident he will, we have actually taken the two biggest cost factors in my business and have significant reductions. That's why I'm confident that we can continue to drive margins in the right direction. And in both of those cases, I think we're leading in terms of showing the industry that it can be done, and I'm very optimistic that we can deliver on that promise.
I want to go back and talk about an acquisition you did, Leap Wireless. How's the integration going?
It's going fantastic. You know, the Leap integration is actually ahead of plan. The customer migrations are ahead of plan. The net promoter scores of the customers who leave the old Leap network and come and get a GSM handset and get a taste of the AT&T network is significantly higher. So we're really, really pleased. They're going to have a great growth opportunity in front of them. We love the new brand and the rollout, and we feel really good about it right now.
And you said you're going to be a little disruptive in this space. You have more to come here?
Well, we've already announced five lines for $100. So we're if people are advertising four for $100, you can actually get five for $100 with Cricket. So I think we have some really great price points for the markets that we serve.
Another interesting theme has been Wi-Fi, and we've sort of seen it two ways over the course of this conference. We've seen announcements around the iPhone 6. Some of your competitors are taking real advantage of the Wi-Fi capabilities in the phone. And we've heard the cable operators talk about building out their Wi-Fi networks and trying to sort of wedge their way into the mobility space. So I guess two questions. One, how do you feel about maybe using Wi-Fi more along the lines of taking advantage of these capabilities? And then the second question is, do you think that what cable is doing is a threat to mobile operators?
So we, from a Wi-Fi point of view, we've always been a big proponent of Wi-Fi from day one because we thought it was healthy to have some of the traffic offloaded to Wi-Fi, and we think that's perfectly fine. It's a great complement to the network capabilities that we have. With Wi-Fi calling, I think it's another great opportunity to leverage our Wi-Fi. We will use Wi-Fi calling in 2015, but only as a complement. You know, we cover 300 million people. Everybody that buys a mobile share value plan gets unlimited talk and text, so we don't have this burning desire for the need of coverage or for other reason to go aggressively after Wi-Fi. Other operators that may have less coverage or have other needs may pursue it more aggressively, but we feel really good about where we are. And we're also implementing Wi-Fi calling and VoLTE calling in a way that really gives you a great experience. So we want those things to be perceived well by the customer, not just that you can do a Wi-Fi calling and it's a lousy experience, or you drop calls, same thing with VoLTE. So we're very focused on making sure that it's a great experience for the customers, but we see it as a complement, not as a replacement for the capability we have. And as far as others, I know I've yet to see other detailed plans, but like I said, we feel really good that we have a great nationwide network where customers today get unlimited talk and text as part of the plans that we're offering, and I don't know why anybody would leave that to join another company.
We have just a few minutes left. If you have a question, please raise your hand. Just wait until they bring the microphone over. We do have a question right over here.
Thanks for the presentation. Switching subjects a little bit to M&A, you mentioned in your remarks that everything is game for questions. Lots of rumors in the press about a potential deal with AMX in Mexico. Is this something that you could entertain, and over what time frame?
Well, we can't comment on speculation, but you know we look at deals available around the globe all the time, and I don't think I can say anything more about that.
I'll ask a slightly different follow-up then, not about Mexico. You're getting into Latin America in a big way through DirecTV. Obviously, the deal hasn't closed yet, but it does seem that AT&T is pretty excited about that. You've worked down there before. Can you maybe talk to us big picture of what you think the opportunity is?
Yeah, I ran our wireless business in Latin America in 11 countries, so I know it pretty well. And what I'm really excited about is what DirecTV has done. DirecTV, and I think Mike White's coming after me, so he can tell you more about it.
We will.
I think Mike and his team have done a fantastic job of selling into Latin America with a prepaid offering. That is huge, huge, because all of the business in wireless in Latin America is essentially done in prepaid. And so having the capability to think about prepaid DirecTV is awesome. They've cracked the nut on that, and we're very excited about figuring out how we can use that capability through other operations, including in the U.S. So I think there's a huge opportunity in Latin America. We'll have to wait until the deal closes to take advantage of it, but DirecTV has done a super job there.
All right, well, I only have one question left, so I'll ask you now. You're going to be doing a service to airplanes. That's something that you've announced. Give me an update. What's the rough timeline, and what do you think the opportunity is here?
Well, it's another great opportunity. It's something that we have been looking into for quite a while. And, you know, when we talk to airline customers, they tell us they need something much better than what we have today. And I think if you've ridden on an airplane, you know that the capability, the throughput is just not there that you would want. So what we are envisioning is a super high-speed service that is much better than what you have today, that allows you to get a lot more data than is available. And when we approach airlines today, we're getting a lot of good positive feedback. The rollout will depend on the customer reception, when they want to get into it. It takes a little bit longer cycle, Brett, to equip an airplane than it does a car or something else because of all the regulations. So it's a longer cycle, but as I mentioned at the beginning, we at AT&T are very focused when we see an opportunity to invest in it, even if it takes a while for it to develop, as long as we think there's a unique opportunity. And with the capabilities we have from Spectrum to the corporate contacts we have all of those customers, for the majority, are customers of ours. We just never offered them in-flight connectivity before, but we offer them cloud services. We offer them mobile services. Now we're offering them to connect their planes. And it's a very logical extension. So I think you'll see more news coming soon, but we're super excited about that opportunity as well as another growth area for AT&T.
Great. Well, we're out of time. Ralph, thanks a lot.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.